I saw a video yesterday, or maybe it was the day before, that really kind of moved me about Thanksgiving, and I loved the portrayal that was made in this video. And it was a family sitting around in a home environment, and there was Grammy and Grampy and Dad and the mom and the cute, adorable kids, and they're all sitting around, and in their own goofy kinds of ways, they're going, "Oh, I'm so full that I could blah, 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 and I'm so full," and they were just talking about how full they were, as if they'd had Thanksgiving dinner. And it was very funny. And then mom comes into the living room after these on and on and on about how full the whole family is. Comes into the living room with this beautiful turkey and says, "Great, now that we're full, let's have dinner." And it's like, what? I thought they were talking about the fact that they just had a Thanksgiving meal. The next shot in the video is they're sitting around a Thanksgiving table and they're holding hands and Dad's getting ready to pray. And he says, "Thank you, Heavenly Father, that we are full of your peace, that we are full of your love, that we are full of your grace, that we're full of your forgiveness, that we're full of your mercy, and that we're full of love for each other. For this, we give thanks. Amen." And then they ate the food. And so I thought that was just so clever. I thought that what a great poignant reminder that we should be full before we go to the table. That's what Thanksgiving is about, is being full before we go to the table, and we're giving thanks for how the Lord has blessed us in so many different ways. So I hope this week, and I'm sure it will be for you and your family and your friends that you share Thanksgiving with, that you feel full before you ever pick up a fork. I thought that was a well-done video, and I wanted to share that thought with you guys this morning. We've been busy talking about membership and how membership matters for the past month or so, almost 2 months now, and last week we saved your marriages. Yay, we did some heavy lifting. We talked about what the Bible says about marriage, and we saw that the home run thought, the key thought about marriage in the Bible, is intrinsically linked with membership, because if your marriage is not everything that you want it to be, and you're having a hard time either loving your wife or respecting your husband, the passage that we saw, because we are a member of a local church, the big thought was, love and respect your spouse as unto the Lord. Because as a church, we have no problem loving and respecting Jesus. We get it. We know how he has saved us. We know how he has provided for us. We trust him. And so when our spouse is giving us fits, we temporarily, in our hearts and in our minds, set them aside for the moment and how they have grieved us. And we reflect on how the Lord has blessed us. And then we serve our spouse as unto the Lord. That's what makes a marriage biblical. That's what makes a marriage Christian. You're not going to get that in any kind of a premarital course or in any conversation about marriage anywhere outside of Ephesians chapter 5. And it's a membership conversation. If you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then you can't serve your spouse as unto the Lord. And so we saved your marriages last week. And that was great. And for some of you, it was just in the nick of time. And ever since last week, it's been like a honeymoon all over again. Has it been that way for anybody? Or maybe your marriage? Mrs. George, put your hand out. Boy, you really tickled yourself there, didn't you? You threw me right off of my wheelhouse. Wow. That was funny, though. That was very good. So the good news is we did some heavy lifting last week. We shored up your marriage. We at least gave you one of the most powerful tool to be the best husband or the best bride, the best wife that you could be, by identifying this purely biblical concept of serving our spouse as unto the Lord, loving our spouse, respecting our spouse unto the Lord. Today, we are going to save your children. We're going to fix your children and your job situation. We're going to fix your children. You're going to know how to be the best parents ever. And most importantly, kids, there's more scripture we're going to look at today that has to deal with you than there does with dear old sweet momster and dadster. So if you are under 18 or if you are still living with your parents, this sermon is going to hit you right between the eyeballs and you are going to become the best child ever. And then we're going to talk about some parenting issues as well. And we're going to save your workplace issues. We're going to fix them all today. And you know I'm being a little facetious, but the concepts and the ideas and the biblical principles that are identified in this membership conversation can actually change your family dynamics and save your situation at work, or at least give you wisdom that you won't find anywhere else. So if you have your Bibles this morning, please turn to Ephesians chapter 6. and we'll be reading verses 1 right on down through verse 9. The words will also be on the screen if that's more convenient for you as well. So beginning in Ephesians chapter 6, kids, youngsters, children, tykes. I'm trying to think of all the nerdy dad words I can think about. Are there any of the nerdy, good nerdy dad words for
kiddos?
Yeah. You guys, I'm going to tick you off real good. You ready? Here we go. But I didn't write it. I didn't write it. I'm just preaching it. So here we go. Children, obey. Yes. That is 100% Jesus truth right there. Children, obey. Yeah, kiddos. Your parents, right? Your rents, the momster, the dadster. As you would the Lord. Woo! You wish you were in school right now, but you are. See what I did there? Yes. Because school, honestly, is easier than this. Homework is easier than this. Being good in class is easier than this. Children, obey your parents as you would serve Jesus. Okay, so I might be in a little bit of trouble right now. You're thinking to yourself, yeah, you probably are. As a kid, you probably are. And the good news is, so were your mom and dad when they were living in their parents' house too. Children, obey your parents as you would the Lord. Same principle applies, kids. If you're having a hard time with mom and dad for whatever reason, maybe they know too much, maybe they don't know enough, and you're having a hard time obeying your parents, in your heart, in your minds, set them aside for a moment and reflect on what Jesus Christ means to you. And if he doesn't mean anything to you, you're in trouble. Because there's no biblical help to help you obey your parents. Because we obey our parents as we serve and love God. And I think, you know, we would all agree as young men, as young women, that we don't have a too big of a problem serving and obeying the creator of the universe, right? That kind of makes him chief of all chiefs. And so, you know, if God himself were to show up this morning, or if he were to send Jesus Christ and you were to walk in and Jesus said, get me a donut, and I mean right now. As a child, you probably wouldn't sass him. You probably wouldn't give him any grief. If he said, okay, kids, this auditorium is a mess. You sprinkled donut juice all over this place. And just in case the superintendent is listening, they didn't bring their donuts in here. This is a metaphor for the sermon. But if they had, and Jesus Christ walked in here and said, children, under the age of 18, kiddos, youngsters, pick up all the donut juice. Yes, sir. He's Jesus. He's got like a halo and stuff. He can do things. He's God. We have, as kids, we'd have no problem humbling ourselves and whatever Jesus said, even if it didn't make sense to us, because he is God. And we love him and we serve him and we've pledged ourselves to him, even as a young person, even as a young man or a young woman. My guess is you would be able to serve him, even if he confused you. Because as kids, sometimes big people say things that confuse us. They're talking about things as if they're really important and they don't mean anything to us. And so it's an act of faith for us as children to be obedient. I get it. And then there's the times where mom and dad, they're just cranky. They're just not being nice. They yell at us. They use words that they shouldn't have used. You know, there are times where mom and dad, it's kind of hard to honor them. It's hard to obey them. And so you set that aside for a moment and reflect on your personal faith in Jesus Christ. And you say, as I love Jesus, as I love him, as I have no problem serving him, as I want to serve him better and better, even though mom and dad is acting like a little bit of a tool right now, or maybe it's just something that I don't understand, but I'm going to be obedient to this verse that says, children, obey your parents as you would the Lord. Okay? How are we doing? This is good? Because here's the deal. You either accept discipline from your parents or you accept discipline from God. And I'm going to prove it here in just a second. Continue reading. Why should you obey your parents as you would the Lord? Because this is right. And when God says something is right, he's totally not kidding. It's like eternally right. So when God says, children, obey your parents as you would the Lord, because this is right, it means do it because it's right. And if you don't do it, and you're going to be subject to discipline from your parents, because we discipline the children that we love, the children that we don't love, we let them play in the road and we don't shout after them. Okay? The children that we do love, when they play in the road, we shout after them. And maybe that hurts your feelings. Get over it. Get out of the road! Because we love you, we discipline you. So if you don't humble yourself to God, to your parents' discipline, if you're disobedient to your parent, because it's right to honor them, because it's right to serve them. If you choose to disobey, even if your parents don't discipline you, what's going to happen is God will, okay? We don't want that. We don't want God's discipline. And so obey your parents. They should discipline you if you don't, but if they don't, God will, okay? Wow. Mom and Dad, I liked this church up until about 7 minutes ago. And I don't care that I have a donut that I didn't pay for. I still don't like this church anymore. Can we go somewhere else? I'll tell you what, it's really amazing, though, that when you begin to live this way as a young man, as a young woman, as you dig deep, you put your love for your parents is expressed through your love for the Lord, and you obey them. It is amazing how you will see God's blessing in your life. Let's prove that, too. Here we go. Children, obey your parents as you would the Lord, because this is right. It's never going away. Your parents are going to discipline you, but if they don't, God will. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. Yay. So that it may go well with you and that you may have a long life in the land. Pastor Josh, that doesn't mean much to me at all. You have to understand that Paul is quoting the Old Testament from the book of Exodus, chapter 12, and the Israelites had been slaves in Egypt, and he delivered them, and he's bringing them to the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. I know that sounds weird to us, but what it means is it's a really nice place to live. And they were living in tents. And God is saying, I'm going to let you build homes. I'm going to let you till the land. I'm going to let you live in safety and peace and have a rich, long life because you are obedient to your parents. If you're not obedient to your parents, this is the deal with the Israelites. God said to the Israelites, if you do not obey your parents, this is one of the Ten Commandments, okay? Honor your father and mother. One of the Ten Commandments, and it's the first commandment with a promise so that you will live long in the land to which I'm giving you. What God said to the Israelites when they first moved into the promised land, which we now know of as Israel, is if you do not obey your mom and dad, the land will puke you out. The land will vomit you. That's literally in the Bible. And it's what God is saying is I will remove the blessing from the land. You will plant things and it will not grow. Wild animals will come and harass you when you're walking around in the field. You're going to live a short, miserable life. That's what God said to the Israelites. And this is what applies to the promise with children. If you obey your parents as unto the Lord, you will get a great job. You will have opportunities open up for you here in the land where you live that only go to obedient children. That you will not struggle in the same way as children who disobey their parents. That's the promise from God's word. Children, obey your parents. Because this is right, it's never going to change, and you will live long in the land that the Lord has given you. This is the land the Lord has given you and your family, and opportunities in this land will open up for you to provide for you and your family as you are obedient to the momster and the dadster, because disobedience is not tolerated, it is always dealt with, and the biblical promise is that things will go well with you if you're obedient to your parents. And the flip side of it is you will live a short and brutish life if you are not. Children, say short and brutish life. Children, Colton? Short and brutish. If you don't know what it means, your parents are grinning right now because they do. They will tell you. Don't live a short and brutish life. Obey your moms and dads. How are we doing? Tracking through this? And moms and dads, this is what the Bible says for us. So that it may go well with you and that you'll live long in the land. Fathers, dads, the monkey is on your back. It's on my back. It's on our back. Here we go. Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. So here's the question that many parents are thinking right now. Does the Bible actually say, spare the rod and spoil the child? Does the Bible actually say that? That if we do not discipline our children and discipline them sternly, that they will grow up to be spoiled, rotten brats. Does the Bible actually say that? Yes, it does. In the book of Proverbs, if we do not discipline our children and discipline them sternly, we're going to talk about what that means, our children will grow up to be spoiled, rotten brats. Maybe they'll be blats too. That sounds terrible. Maybe a blat is like a super brat. A large brat is a blat. You will become a blat. Okay, blat's not in the Bible, but spoiling our children by not disciplining them sternly is. Spare the rod, spoil the child. It's a biblical verse. This is not something your grandmother made up. So what does that actually mean? What does effective discipline look like? Fathers, don't stir up anger in your children. Do not exasperate them, other translations say, but bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. Effective discipline is based off of clear expectations. What do we expect from our children? Do they know what we expect from us? And if we've stated it clearly, now we have a basis from which to discipline. If we do not give them clear expectations that they can understand and remind them of them frequently, lovingly, then how in the world can we be disciplining them effectively if they don't know what the target is? So then you do discipline them because they didn't read your mind effectively. Now they're exasperated. Now they're angry. Okay? Does that mean I went over that really quickly, but as moms and dads, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Clear expectations are the foundation for effective discipline. Without it, now they're trying to hit a moving target. I am the worst in the world at that. Because I'm so passionate about things, because I feel so, I'm the kind of guy that actually walks around and believes that I heard from God on something. Try working with me for a while. Try living with me for a while. How could you forget to bring the thing? We're going to serve Jesus. And you forgot the thing. What? It's very difficult living with me because I'm very passionate about the way certain things should be. And it feels like you have to read my mind or else now I'm mad at you. And so dads, we have to really own this because we can't expect our children to be mind readers. We really have to lay out clear expectations for our children. And that is what goes into bringing them up in the training and instruction of the Lord. The yards as children that are the most enjoyable to play in are the ones with good, strong fences. Why are yards that have a nice fence the safest yards to play in, the funnest yards to play in, the yards where we can have the most fun? Why are the funnest yards fenced in? The funnest yards are fenced in because you can kick the ball as hard as you want and it won't roll into the road. You can hit the ball as hard as you want and it won't go into the road. Or if it does, you know now that you need permission to go get it. You can play hard in a yard with a fence. You can go deep for that long pass from your friends playing football and not worry about running out of the yard and into traffic because there's a fence. You can play harder with more confidence and have more joy and more creativity and more fun in a household with clear guidelines. If there are no clear guidelines, your children are going to live in your house like this. It's as if they're on the platform with me right now and there are no clear guidelines and they say, is this safe? I guess it was. Is this safe? I guess it was. Is this safe? I guess it was. There's no clear guideline here. I can't see it. I'm not looking at it. I don't understand it as a kid, but you know as a parent, this is not safe. But they can't see it. The kids that are going to have the most fun on the stage, the kids that are going to have the biggest time on the stage, playing on the stage, was if there was a gate right along the front of this stage. They would use the whole thing. In a house where there's no clear guidelines, they huddle up in the middle because they don't know what's right and what's wrong. And then the ones who are more type A, they go and try and find out, and then they get disciplined. And then you wonder why they're mad. They didn't see the line because we didn't paint it for them. Does that help? The funnest yards are the ones with fences. So build those fences in your family. It's not because you hate your children. It's not because you want to discipline them. It's because you're going to enjoy that safe area that you created, those household guidelines that you created. Hence, our discipline. Notice that this passage regarding our children says nothing about their attitude. I got disciplined for my attitude more than anything else as a boy. And it wasn't from my mom. I got so disciplined for a bad attitude. I mean, over and over and over again. This passage never mentions an attitude for children. Why? It's all about obedience. Are you obeying your parents or aren't you? Once upon a time, Jesus told this story. There were two brothers, and dad said, hey, go work in the field. One brother said, yes, sir, I'm on it right now. And then he didn't go work in the field. He had a great attitude, but he didn't do the thing. The other brother said, dad, you're a jerk. I'm not going to go work in the field. And then he went and got his equipment and he went to go work in the field. And Jesus said, which of those two boys was a good boy? The one that had the good attitude but didn't do the thing, or the one that had a sassy attitude and then worked in the field? Well, obviously the boy that did the work, that was a good boy. That's correct. Attitudes don't matter so much with kids, biblically. Did we get that, mom and dad? If we're disciplining our children because of terrible attitudes, We're frustrating them. We're exasperating them. We're angering them. We discipline our children because they disobey. Did you or did you not clean your room, young man? Yeah, I cleaned my room. Perfect. I'm talking about what we see in the Bible. And I have a behavior specialist sitting in the front row. She is cringing a little bit. Obviously, we need to employ these principles with a sense of wisdom, right? There is such, because we know that our children can disobey through their attitudes. And boys and girls, kiddos, children, younglings, you know that you cross the line in your attitudes sometimes too. But the big picture here, biblically, is that God does not address attitudes in children. He addresses obedience. And obedience is a function of clear expectations. And the children either know what they're supposed to be doing or they don't. And there's a good chance that if your children are exerting a bad attitude, it could be because they don't know what the expectations are. How's that? It's better. Okay. This is, and there's seminars on this stuff, but I want to introduce you to these concepts, the big ideas in the biblical text. How are we doing? Final thought on parenting is that it's permanent. You always have to honor and respect your parents. They're never not going to be your mom and your dad. When you like them, when you don't like them, when you agree with them, when you don't agree with them, whatever, the parents are always your parents. You are one of God's greatest blessings to your parents. They are one of God's greatest blessings to us, to you. Therefore, they are always worthy of our honor and respect as to the Lord. When you turn 19, that doesn't mean you can change your attitude towards your parents, right? We always have to honor and respect our parents. And I want to hold on to that because we're going to see how this is contrasted as we talk about workplace environment. So moving on through the text, how are we doing? Was that new? Some of us? Helpful or wow, I wish I stayed in bed. All right. I know that I'm laying a lot out here today, but it has to do with membership because again, we're serving our children and our children are serving us as to the Lord. Let's move on to what the Bible calls slaves and masters. Before I even read this text, let me just acknowledge something that is true of the Bible. Just because something is acknowledged in the Bible does not mean that it has God's approval. I'm going to say that again. Just because the Bible acknowledges something, okay, does not mean that that thing has God's approval. For instance, polygamy. It is in the Bible. It is acknowledged as a thing. It happens in the Bible. It does not have God's approval, okay? So just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean that God's necessarily a fan of it. So when I'm talking about slaves and masters, please understand that Paul is addressing a first century reality, that he had men and women who were slaves that were coming to faith in Jesus Christ and wondering if they ought to revolt. How could I serve Jesus if I'm literally someone else's slave? And so this was an issue that Paul had to address in the first century church. So just because slavery is acknowledged in this text, please do not think that is the text that says that God approves of slavery. He does not. Actually, what God approves of slavery is that we are all slaves to Christ. That is the biblical principle, that we are not in bondage to anything or anyone or any sin, but that we are free to be slaves to Christ. That's actually what God approves of regarding slavery in the Bible. Slaves. So we're going to use the context of employees and employers, because that's the closest parallel that we have. And if you don't think you're a slave to your job, quit your job and see what happens. Slaves, obey your human masters with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart as to Christ. Man, everybody's on the hook. If you're a Christian, you're on the hook. What this text is saying is that whether it's your husband, whether it's your wife, whether it's your kid, whether it's your parent, whether it's your boss, whether it's your employee, as we're going to go on to see, serve them as you would serve the Lord. Everybody's on the hook. Don't work only while being watched. What? In order to please men, but as slaves of Christ, do God's will from your heart. Serve with a good attitude as to the Lord and not to men. Here's where attitude comes in. It does not come in the conversation with children. With children, we are not so much worried about their attitude because if they develop a heart that is obedient, the attitude falls in line. Remember, obey your father and mother, and it will go well with you. You'll live long in the land that I'm giving you. The children that learn to obey at home develop the good attitude that gets them the job. Is that not true? Is that not the real world that we live in? that the ones with the best attitudes are the ones with the best jobs and the ones that get the best promotions. Where does that attitude develop? At home. Not because we're focusing on the attitude, but that we're expecting obedience. Obedience develops a positive attitude, and the positive attitude is what is required in the workplace. Serve with a good attitude as to the Lord and not to men. And here's this promise, okay? Crazy promise right here. With each of these commands, there's a promise. Knowing that whatever good each one does, slave or free, in the workplace environment now, right? He will receive this back from the Lord. It's like God's 401k. You serve at work, whether you're a boss or an employee, with a good attitude, it's as if you're making deposits into a God-inspired 401k. That's the kind of language that is being used here. That those investments of your good attitude, even to those employees or employers that don't deserve it, are as unto the Lord, and He pays the dividends. So the question is, are we putting anything into our heavenly 401k, or does our attitude stink? Right? Knowing that whatever good each one does, slave or free, he will receive back from the Lord. And masters, treat your slaves the same way, without threatening them, because you know that both their master and yours is in heaven, and there is no favoritism with him. Regarding children and parents, we always have to honor and obey our parents. They're always going to be our parents. They're always going to be our children. Therefore, we always have to treat them that way. Employer is a temporary situation. And in God's eyes, in a family, there's mom and dad, and then there's the kids. And the question is, are the kids obeying mom and dad? And are mom and dad laying down clear expectations? That conversation's never going away. In the workplace environment, the master and the slave, the employer and the employee, the boss and the worker, same level field in God's eyes. No difference whatsoever. Because they're just a temporary person in your life. Your boss is not a permanent relationship. Your employee is not a permanent relationship. If you don't like them, get another one. That's what you should do, right? But if you're going to stay there, you should have a halfway decent attitude about it, because that's how you invest in your heavenly 401k. So I know we've covered a lot of material, but how are we doing? This is a membership conversation. The only people that act this way, the only people that get this intelligence, the only people that get this knowledge, the only people that get to process this wisdom are Christ followers. That's it. And if we're going to step out in our workplace, and if we're going to be unique in our homes, it's because we serve each other as unto the Lord. If we don't know Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then this conversation falls apart, and so do the promises. And so by way of conclusion this morning, I'm going to wrap this up. That was like a Thanksgiving meal. I'm so full. I know I feel that way, and I already thought about it, and you guys are just hearing it for the first time. I'm so full. God's word has so much to say to us this morning as we conclude this conversation of membership. That membership matters. Yes, it matters in the context of a local church. River Church has an exciting future in front of it, and we need to know who's on board and who's just here to visit, who's going to contribute to River Church, and who's going to consume the resources. And I'm speaking very bluntly right now, right? And so we begin a membership process, not only to encourage you and to grow you into where is your place at River Church, but so that we know that we know that we know that we're moving forward together as a family. But membership matters in so many areas of life beyond what happens here on a Sunday morning or at a River Church event during the week. It matters in your marriage. Membership matters in our marriages, because we now have this tool, we now have this ability, we have this understanding that when things get rough, and they will, because we married a person, that we serve them as unto the Lord. And we know as children, Paul is speaking to our children here, honor your father and mother and obey them, because that's right. It's never going away. And that is so powerful as a young person, because it can be so frustrating. You're trying to make your mom and dad happy. You really didn't get up in the morning with the idea being that you're going to take your mom and dad off, but then you brought the report card home. And you forgot to hand in a couple of assignments. And now guess who's in hot water? Now guess who can't do anything right around the home for something that you forgot to do at school? That's frustrating. And as a young man, as a young woman, it's so powerful to know that I can go, I can think about my own personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I can go back into my family context with power and strength that doesn't live anywhere else. And moms and dads, we understand that when we start to see attitudes from our children, we know that we need to ask about expectations. Maybe we didn't make things clear. because maybe we're disciplining for a look on their face than rather what they actually did with their hands and their feet. And in the workplace, oh my goodness, we could go on and on and on, but how powerful is that to know that when we humble ourselves and we serve our employers well, or we serve our employees well, that we're actually investing in a heavenly 401k, that God is going to pay those dividends. He does not miss those acts of kindness, those times when you could have exerted your rights as an employee. You could have exerted your rights as an employer, and doggone it, they're not treating you fair. But you did the right thing anyways. From the Bible, Ephesians chapter 6, that is not overlooked. It's actually been deposited. And if you don't like your job or if you don't like your employee, fire them. It's not a permanent relationship. Quit them. Go find one that you can serve in that kind of way. So I know that was a lot. And I encourage you to go back and look at the scripture yourself and be encouraged by it as you study it throughout the week. So we're going to pray, and the most important thing we're going to pray about is that we have that relationship with Jesus Christ, that we're a member of His family, because membership matters, and that's the most important membership that we can have. And we'll have an opportunity to sing this morning, and then we'll be dismissed. Would you join me as I pray? Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to place our faith in you. And for some of us, maybe it's the bajillionth time, because we've realized that in some areas of our life, we've fallen away from your principles, your guidance, your teaching, your provision. And for some of us, maybe it's the first. And we simply say, Father, I want to belong to you. I want to be known by you. I need this kind of teaching. I need this kind of wisdom. I need to know more about your word. I need to know more about who Jesus Christ is, because he is modeling things that I've never seen anywhere else. And man, it sounds powerful. Man, it sounds peaceful. Father, for those of us that feel that way, I just pray that we would soften our hearts towards you and just pray simply, quietly. Heavenly Father, I'm sorry for any way that I have failed you. It is my job to repent and turn to you, and I pray that you give me the power to do so and start a journey of faith today. Father, we ask these things in Jesus' name.